I have this recurring dream where I'm doing something in the dream in some place, and then I go to leave the place to get in my car, and I can't find my car. I don't remember where I put it. Does that ever happen to you? No?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Then I have this dream where I'm walking down the street and I realize I don't have any pants on and I'm totally naked from the belt down. I guess I'm wearing a belt and I can't find my pants anywhere. Has that ever happened to you?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I have this recurring dream where...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... whatever. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. I'm here every weekday. Well, I hope I'm here every day of my life, to be honest with you. But as far as this performance, this stage entourage is concerned, I'm do this Monday through Friday. Those are called the weekdays. They're not the strongest days in the world. Spelled differently. So there were the weekdays, Monday through Friday. Let me name them for you. Monday, then you got your Tuesday after that. Wednesday's following so quickly. Thursday lags a little bit behind, but it comes after Wednesday all the time. And after Thursday, you got this Friday thing just making the ends meet. That's 5 days a week. That's over 250 days in the year that I sit here in front of this bulbous voice amplifier. And I spout out the things that go on in my brain. And in the true form of Brian Williams, half of them are made up. Only you don't know which half that is. And that's the constant struggle on your part. Want to play a game? Marco. Very good. Very, very good. I'll tell you a funny little story that kind of embarrasses me. When you learn things that everybody else knows, it gets a little embarrassing. It does.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
The funny story will start in a second. I was not all that young when this funny story occurred. I was probably about maybe 30. Here's a story that truly embarrasses me. But As I relay this story, I'm assuming that you've been thoroughly embarrassed yourself many times, only you don't have a radio talk show to tell everybody just how embarrassed you actually were. See if you can relate to me. It has nothing to do with dreams. I think I was going to New Hampshire to spend a little time at a pool. And I was up there with my lovely lady, and we were we got the hotel room in New Hampshire just to get away for a few days. I don't know we get away from what, but people say they want to get away. You have to really mean that. You have to really want to get away from something horrific. So we get to this hotel, and I put my bathing suit on. I don't care for bathing suits. It's like wearing your underpants in public, which I don't really like to do. It's got a little cutout for your pee-pee. Anything that's got a cutout for your pee-pee is underpants. At least my bathing suit does. Maybe it's just ripped in the front. I really don't know. But I feel odd just walking around in my underpants. Anyway, I go down to the pool wearing nothing but my bathing suit underpants. And there's kids in the pool playing around. And one kid on one side of the pool yells out in a very distinct, high-pitched, annoying kid manner. By the way, I love kids, only they need not to talk so much. They need to have a filter. Kids don't have filters. They don't have filter cigarettes for kids either. So kids end up talking too much. What's this? What's this? How does this work? What's this? Oh my God, read a book, will you? I can't, I'm a kid. Well, then Google it. You've probably got a tablet. Just figure it out yourself. I did. So this kid's swimming around, and he's bouncing up and down in the water, as kids tend to do. And he yells out, as clear as day, over the amount of noise with the other kids playing, he yells out, Marco. And all the way at the other end of the pool, this other kid, which I assume is his brother, because they somewhat look alike. They both look like kids. All kids look alike. You have skinny kids. You have fat kids. There's nothing in between. There's no other way to describe them. They all have the same haircut. All ask the same stupid questions. They're all the same. Just one's fat, one's skinny. This other kid, which I assume is his brother once again, at the other side of the pool, responds by saying polo. And I say to myself, is this like a history quiz the kids play with each other? I mean, does one kid stand at one side of the pool and go, George, and the other one goes, Washington, Barack, Obama, are these people from history? Isaac, Newton, It's one way to learn. If you're going to go bobbing up and down the pool, yeah, start naming famous people, and it's like a history lesson. So that's all well and good, and I sit there and I enjoy my little pool day, breathing in chemical fumes and chlorine and stuff like that, which I'm sure is great, great for you, so that later on when you're elderly, the doctor can say, I'm sorry, but you've got some type of weird chlorine gas poisoning. Well, how do you think I got that? Do you go to swimming pools a lot? Oh my God, that affected me to that extent? Yes, we're sorry. You've only got 2 weeks. Oh my God. So we get in the car and we drive. And we're going to Vermont. This is a lovely getaway trip. We go to Vermont. And we get to Vermont. And we stop off at this DoubleTree Hotel. I didn't see one tree on the premises, to be honest with you, but somehow, right on the building, it says DoubleTree, and I'm going like, well, right, okay. Interesting name for a hotel, whatever. And once again, it's a beautiful day outside. When you stay at a hotel, what do? You go to the pool. Put on my bathing suit underpants. Comes in a variety of colors. Grab a towel and go down to the pool. I'm sitting beside the pool in one of those chaises longues. It's a French word for elongated chair. the chaise lounge. And I'm sitting there, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day, and it's outside. Beautiful day, sky is blue, birds are chirping, butterflies, moths, mosquitoes, black flies, all that crap. They'll kill you eventually. But I'm digging it. I'm enjoying myself. And there's kids playing in the pool as there were at the other hotel, you know. They all look the same to me. Little bodies that bob up and down and never shut up. You know the drill. And there's a kid in there, and he's bobbing up and down, and he's saying, Marco. And I go, well, my ears perk up. Hey. He just said Marco. And another kid at the other end of the pool yells out, Polo. I say, what are the chances of going to a hotel in New Hampshire, driving like another 2 hours or 2.5 hours, ending up in Vermont near the Canadian border, and apparently the same family did the same route, and these two kids are yelling out this history game. It's the same two kids, Marco, Polo, it's them. So my God, and I was grooving on that for about, you know, an hour there, sitting at the pool going, what are the chances of these two kids? Wow, this family. I wonder if this family is like, lives in my neighborhood or something, because when Marco Polo, it's them. And I go through the rest of my vacation stuff, but that's not the end of the story. For months, for years, I think that these two kids were following me around during my excursion in upper New England there, northern New England. And so what are the chances of the same two kids showing up at the same hotel that I am? This is a small world. This is when you say that phrase, hey, it's a small world. And I'm not referring to that annoying Disney ride where they repeat that song, it's a small world after all. You know, they put you in a boat so you can't escape the damn thing. And these little puppets, these little freaking puppets from every corner of the globe, they sing It's a Small World After All in like 192 languages. And you're going to hear every damn one of them. And after a while on this ride, this Disney ride, It's a Small World, you feel like jumping the boat and saying, I'm out of here. I can't stand it. Drown me now. It's a small world. I said, my God. And then this song is in your head for 72 years after that. Can't get the stupid song out of your head. Anyway, it is a small world, and that's when you say those things. It's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. That's what you say at that point. Years and years later, I'm in New York. I'm business. I'm at a hotel. This hotel has an indoor pool, obviously in New York City. It's hard to have outdoor pools. You don't see a lot of them. And I'm there with my hotel towels, and I'm sitting at the side of the pool. I think you can finish this story yourself. And there's kids splashing in the pool and adults and stuff. And one kid yells out, Marco. And the other kid responds, Polo. All right, well, now my stupidity ends. I realize, all right, this can't be the same two kids. That's called stalking. And I start to realize this is a game that all children play. Took me years to figure that out. I'm not proud of that story because it makes me sound very stupid. But at the same time, I'm very human. I also make miscalculations and mistakes. But that one was like really stupid.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey,
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, and I appreciate your listenership. If it was any way I could pay you back, I would, but I can't, so I won't. I was looking at a survey recently about states in this country that have no state income tax, and I thought, wow, that sounds really great. And those states that don't have state income taxes boast about it. We have no state income tax. That's the way they sound. That's the voice they have. And I thought that must be interesting. And then I continue to read this article, and I find out that if you have no state income tax, it doesn't mean you live there for free. You still have to pay. It's just a question, by which method are you paying? At the end of the year in April, or continually through the things you buy in the places you live in? For example, there's no state income tax in New Hampshire, although there are kids who yell Marco Polo a lot. So you got to say to yourself, well, how does a state like that repair its roads and do corruption things? How do you do that without any money? Well, apparently the property tax, if you own a home, is quite high. Higher than other places. Almost ridiculously high. Some states have no sales tax, but usually just on certain types of items. If there's no state income tax, usually you'll be stung with state sales tax. They get their money somehow. Here are states that have no sales tax, in case you want to move. Do you ever want to move? Do you want to move right now? Do you want to get a place together? As long as you clean it. Alright. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to talk about that. It's too serious. I don't feel like being serious today. But I do have some guests lined up for you. Some wonderful, wonderful people who make this show what it is. Where it's at, what it is, man. As a matter of fact, Kat Connan is... Kat Collings is with us. She's with a place called Who, What, Where. The where part is W-E-A-R. So we're talking about ways to make yourself look hot. And I got to tell you something. You should look hot, especially if you're going to live in a state with no income tax. Seven U.S. states currently don't have an income tax. Those states are Alaska. Who the fuck would want to live in Alaska? Why would anybody want... Why would somebody say, I'm making a decision to live in Alaska? Why would you even say that to yourself? And then that Sarah Palin dude, she just like totally ruined it for me. It's like, oh, wow, sounds like people... in Alaska are all fucked up. It's Sarah Palin, her screwed up family, Eskimos, seals, and maybe a couple of penguins. And apparently the view out of everybody's bedroom window is Russia somehow. I mean, I would not want to live there. And I understand it's fairly chilly there. In Alaska, they have no state income tax because no one else would live there for any reason other than the fact there's no state income tax. Nevada has no state income tax. Of course, if you win anything at the casinos, you're taxed big time, but no state income tax. Florida has no state income tax. Can you believe that? I find that fascinating. Florida has no state income tax. South Dakota has no state income tax. Does anybody live in South Dakota? I've never met anybody from South Dakota. Hey, where are you from? South Dakota. You don't hear it because I don't think it's possible. But there's no state income tax there. Texas has no state income tax. I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. The Bush families, I want you to notice this. Texas, Florida, New Hampshire, what do they have in common? They're all places where Bush people live. One of the George Bushes, the younger one in comparison, was the governor of Texas. The other Bush, Jeb Bush, Jebediah, was governor of Florida. The other one, the old matriarch Bush, has a compound in Maine, which is right near New Hampshire. So, Bushes don't believe in state income tax, apparently. Washington, the state of Washington, has no state income tax. And Wyoming, once again, only mountains live there. There's no state income tax. But again, a very high property tax, very high sales tax. You pay for it in other ways. There's no way not to give money to the government in a state. They need the money. All right, but that's not what I was talking about originally. I'm just saying. If you want to move, that's where you should go to. You should just get away somewhere. Just get away. Pack up your car. Go to one of those states where there's no state income tax. And just get away. Go to a hotel with a pool where kids bob up and down yelling Marco Polo. Just get away. Maybe it is time to get away. Maybe it's important just to change your atmosphere, your scenery every once in a while. And when you do, search out these two kids who follow me and stalk me across the country in pools yelling out Marco Polo. I want to find these kids. I want them prosecuted with every single possible arm of the law at my disposal, and I want them stopped. It's an infringement upon my rights as a human being. It's the 17th Amendment. Stop yelling Marco Polo. I wonder if Marco Polo himself, who apparently sailed the world with a bunch of people with scurvy on a boat, discovering the Orient and discovering the meaning of noodles, I wonder if Marco Polo ever conceived that one day kids would be in pools yelling out his name in tandem. Stop something immediately now. I want society to stop. I want the clothing manufacturers to stop doing something immediately. And guys, I'm kind of directing this at you and girls, the people that buy guys their clothing. Guys don't buy their own clothing unless you're an executive on Wall Street or you own a company or something. Men don't buy their own clothes. Their women go out and get it for them. You know it's true. If you're a man, raise your hand the last time you got into the car or onto the subway train and said, "Whoa, it's Saturday, I'm going to the store, I'm going to buy me some underpants." No man has ever uttered those words. Unless you're an executive and you have your initials on the band of the underpants. Other than that, no. No, you don't. You never do. Jeez, I'm running low on socks. I'm going to go to the store and buy some socks. Excuse me. No, because it just doesn't happen. There's a garment that I never understood, and I'm going to tell you about it right now in the English language. Press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish. Boy, that pissed me off. I went to the bank yesterday. All right, Stream of Consciousness Radio. I went to the bank yesterday, and I put my ATM card in the stupid machine. I have to put a card in the machine and get my money back. Put the card in the machine, and the touch screen said, please enter your PIN number. And I entered my PIN number, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. What are you, crazy? It's Marco Polo. You know that. So I punched it. It has to be numbers, I think. So I punched it in, and then I hit the enter button, and then the next thing came up on the screen. Were two choices, English or Spanish. And I said to myself, where the fuck do I live? What? I thought I lived in America. I know that's very white, Caucasian, old school to say, but I maintain that through my life. And I know there are a lot of people that speak Spanish, but it bothers me every single time, like, you're asking me what language I want to get my money out of from? What language? Where am I? Am I in Bolivia? And what about those poor Bulgarians who don't have an option? Do you want to continue in English, Spanish, or Bulgarian? I don't even know if Bulgarian is a language, to be honest with you. I'm just making a point. So anyway, so men don't go shopping, and that's what all that means. Men don't go shopping. So anyway, if they took my brain and sliced it up and put it in a CAT scan machine, the fucking machine would break. It would say, I can't read this guy. This bitch is crazy. And now I'm a bitch. Now I just call myself a bitch. And it's not true. I'm not a bitch. I don't even know what that means anymore. I think it means like a dog that has menstrual cycles. Anyway, here's the deal. Underpants, guys' underpants, the jockeys and the boxers, they have a little slit in the front for your pee-pee so that... This is so stupid. I'm so embarrassed to talk about this. Yeah. It has a little slit so your pee-pee can stick out, and you can do your pee-pee into the urinal or the toilet, whatever the case may be, without lowering your underpants. And I'm saying to myself, how lazy did the entire men's underwear industry get by saying, we're going to do a standard where we're going to put a slit in the front of everybody's underpants? That's the place that I need covered, do you understand? You want to put a slit, put it in the ass part so I can fart. But the idea of this is to hold my penis in my pants. That's the whole, it's to protect the boys and the cannon. But no, we're going to put a slit there so you embarrassingly can like have little Johnny stick out and say hello every once in a while. Let me tell you something else. Men are lazy, but they're not that lazy. I have never used the slit in my entire fucking life. And I'm sorry I said life in a very demonstrative manner. I always lower the pants. Little Buckeye Bill peeks himself over the waistband of the underpants, never through the French door opening. I would love someday to take a survey. I can't because it's kind of weird and awkward. How many men actually stick One Eye Jack through the opening of the underpants? I never do. I lower them to half mast and then I do my stuff. First of all, let me make a series of apologies to everyone that is offended by this type of conversation. I say, I get it, I would be too, but this needs to be said. My message to the clothing manufacturers are, create a line of underpants where you don't have that stupid slit in the front. Put the slit in the back so I can successfully fart without soiling my pants. Now I'm going to apologize for the last comment that I made because that's also disgusting. I'm sorry.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, bump number 9.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Hey, Kat from Do It Where.
How you doing, Kat? How's everything?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Welcome to the Boston, New England area. We're happy to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure being had. Oh, that didn't sound right. What part of the country are you in?
We're broadcasting to you from Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. It's early in the morning for you, and I so much apologize.
Oh, yeah, it was a late night or an early morning, either way you look at it. Right.
Kat Collins is the expert bringing the hottest trends off the runway into everyday life, which is our lives, with the Who, What, Where series. Hey, it's great to have you here. And you know, men got to look good too, but we're focusing on women because, you know, men don't look good no matter what. So we focus on the women because there's a chance here to look good. Kat, what is in this year? I mean, you know, it's always something a little bit different, a little modification on the previous years.
Yeah,
Yeah. This summer, it's all about the sports-inspired sandal. It was seen on some major runways on designers such as Marni and Burberry, which are major players on the fashion scene. So they're endorsing this trend. And there's three really awesome reasons why this is like a cool trend for everyone to try. It's easy to translate from the runway to real life, which, as we know, the case with runway, like, that's not often how it works.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, it's also really comfortable. Like, you can live your life in these sandals. You don't have to, you know, make any adjustments to try out the trend. They're super comfortable, and I know ladies love their comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
And lastly, you can get the designer pair that was shown on the runway for hundreds of dollars, but you can also look just as stylish and with a more affordable pair from Teva sandals.
Okay. That's always the trick, isn't it, to transform it from the runway into something affordable for most people?
Yeah, it really is. Because, I mean, most people, myself included, you know, the actual runway item is a little out of reach. So it's nice that we, you know, have these brands that we can sort of use to get the exact look without compromising anything, really.
Okay. What are some of the other trends going on?
Some of the other biggest trends are plaid's really big coming up for fall. It's always, you know, it's a perennial trend that comes back and comes and goes, but it's really huge. As well as the 70s trend is always making a comeback. Yeah, we often look back to one decade or another, and we'll reimagine it for a new sort of new ways to wear it.
Okay, all right. Now, what about are women showing more leg or less leg these days?
Well, it's interesting because I would say midi skirts are a huge trend, which is less leg. That's where it hits you, sort of, you know, between your knee and your ankle.
Mm-hmm.
But the mini skirts are big as well. It's really kind of, the nice part is you have the choice. Like, it's all sort of in style right now. There isn't a specific length.
Yeah.
So you can really sort of, if your legs, you're all about your legs, you can show those off. I mean, it's sort of tailored to whatever you're into.
Okay. Are fashion trends based on what the clothing companies decide they want to move? In other words, are they created by the manufacturers, or are they created by the people that wear them?
It's interesting. A big part of it's created by the manufacturers, the designers who are showing these trends on the runway, and then they sort of trickle down to sort of a mass consumer. But these days, with social media, and there's a lot more interaction between the customer and the designer in the ways that the customer can sort of inform. They can, like, their voice is heard a little bit more about what they're interested in, which is really cool. It's kind of a little more, I guess, democratic approach to fashion.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
I would assume so. I think in the past, from what I've seen, is that there was no influence. It was just, this is what we're making, and this is what is in, and because I'm telling you it's in, therefore it is in.
But, right. It's like, you've got to try this trend because we're telling you this is what you have to wear.
This is
now.
What we're making it available. We're telling you, you look cool in it. Me and Bob down the street think you look cool in it, so this is the trend for you.
I've been seeing a lot of designers even sort of run sort of campaigns where the people get to vote on what styles will be put into production, which is really interesting, and you can actually play a part in what you'll be wearing.
That's very, very cool. Okay. Are these fashions influenced by other parts of the country? Do our designers influence the rest of the world? What's the balance there?
I think our designers, American designers definitely are very influential, but there's tons of power players in Europe and all across the world. For Teva sandals, I feel like they're kind of Americana-inspired because it's sort of a, like outdoorsy vibe.
Uh-huh.
It's about getting out there and wearing these comfortable shoes that you can live everyday life in, and whether you're just running errands or whether you're going on a hike, like you're set in these shoes. And so I especially love that sort of vibe that they come from, that point of view.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing you said is that to take summer fashion and meld it into fall with a few little changes is kind of a smart thing. I've not really heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, when you're investing in clothing or really anything, you want to make sure you're getting what I like to think of it in terms of cost per wear.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to make sure that's a low number. You're not paying, hundreds of dollars per wear. So to make sure you get the longevity out of it is key. And with these sort of sports-inspired sandals, the best way, I think, to transition them into fall is with a little cropped pant, because showing a little ankle is key for sort of balancing out the heft of a statement shoe.
Yeah.
And then you just toss on a jacket, and you've got a great look for, like, cooler temperatures, as well as, obviously, they work great in summer as well.
I mean, I don't know if it's inbaked in the female personality, but you can tell when someone's looking at you and thinks that you're looking really good and really hot and what you're wearing, what your clothing is. And men have no idea. They think they're looking at you because your fly's open by mistake or something, but it's just totally different.
So. Yeah, it's nice how fashion plays such a big role for women in terms of confidence. And
cool.
It can make a huge difference in what you're wearing. If you feel good about what you're wearing,
absolutely,
people notice. It's like, it can change your posture, it can change your attitude.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times people think fashion is a little bit more frivolous and surface, but it can majorly impact how you carry yourself and how you feel about yourself.
No question about it. So who, what, where? How do we get in touch and follow and all that?
Yeah, so we're a fashion website, whowhatwear.com. We're also on Instagram at whowhatwear. So you can find us there, and you can also find more of my tips on Teva.com or at Teva on Instagram. More fashion tips and how to wear from transition from summer to fall, and just more ideas about how to wear the sandals.
Yeah, we've just had a little taste of what you can find in Who, What, Where, and visit there and get the full story. Collins, it's a pleasure speaking to you. You have yourself a wonderful day out there in the other part of the country.
Thank you. You too. It's great speaking with you.
Thank you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Sounds so young. So valley girlish.
Whatever.
Yeah, just like that, only with a British accent you have.
Whatever.
All right. Say it one more time.
Whatever.
Very good. At least you do what I tell you to do.
Whatever.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, before this gets really, really annoying, which happened pretty much a minute and a half into the program, it's time for me to say goodbye. This is always a sad part of the show, because when we part company, it's like, I don't know, I think we've become friends over the years, and it's been a very special moment for all of us. So these ends of programs are kind of very difficult for me. Sure, not for you. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for your indulgence and your time and your donations to this program, which I know you don't make. If I have made one person laugh, one person think, one person expand their mind to any extent more so than what it usually is, then I always figure I have done my job. Thank you again. And until tomorrow, put a smile on your face and whatever.